Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek. Today is Tuesday, August the 18th. Thank you so much for stopping by. You know the deal. I have a table with a chair with your name on it, so make yourself at home. And hopefully you and me, we can hang out for the next 30 minutes. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ, following Jesus, and specifically today. You know, this is not what I do all the time, but it seems more often than not over the past few weeks. The daily mass readings have really got me, and today is no exception. We're going to look at the readings from today's daily mass, and I think there's a great message there. I mean, it's the Bible. Of course there's a great message, but I think there's a great message for us in terms of being in control. I've told you before, I like to be in control. I like comfort. I don't like to have to be forced out of my comfort zone. You know, the deal with walking on the water. If I was in the shoes of St. Peter and Jesus was walking on the water, I'd say, well, that's good. He can do it, but he's divine. I'm going to let him do the walking on the water. I don't want any parts of that. Unlike St. Peter, who said, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Peter took a big risk to follow Jesus out onto the sea in the middle of a storm. That was quite a risk. But me, I like to play it safe. That's my nature. But you know as well as I do that the way it works is sometimes the Lord wants to meet us out in the storm, and he's going to send these storms into our lives and really challenge us to get out of the boat, to depart from our comfort zone, and to follow him. But if you're like me, and I have a feeling you might be a little like me, we like to be in control, or at least we like to think we're in control. And what happens with people like us, I'll just make that assumption that you and I are like, with people like us, Jesus has to sometimes shake us up a little bit and remind us that we are not in control. This message has been one that's been delivered. This is a message that has been delivered to the Lord's people for thousands and thousands of years. They think they're in control, and the Lord has to remind them. I think that's what's going on right now with the COVID-19 pandemic. I mean, there could be a lot of reasons why we're in the middle of this, but one thing is God wants to teach us we are not in control. Some of us are struggling with that message. We want to try to regain some kind of control. And oftentimes, I learned this over the past few weeks with this poison ivy. Today is probably my best day since this whole mess began 2.5 weeks ago. But my arm is finally, I think I told you on the show yesterday, my arm is finally starting to go down a little bit. The swelling is substantially less. I still have some pain, but boy, this reminded me that I am not in control. You know, I thought I was. I never expected something like this. Anyway, that's what we're going to talk about on the show today, and I hope this point will resonate with you. I think it's a good lesson for us to learn. I think we all need to remember that we are not in control. God's in control, and however we have to learn that, and I honestly think we're going to be learning this message repeatedly for the rest of our lives, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's a good thing, because we really do want to be aware of this message. We just got to remember, he's in charge. We're not. We are given limited control. Mainly our free will is what we have control over, and a few other things that God gives us. But for the most part, he wants us to trust him. He wants us to follow his lead. And if we keep our eyes on Jesus every day and we let him lead us, we're going to realize that we sometimes have to break away from some of these obstacles. You're going to hear about one of them in the gospel today. Okay, so let's settle in. And I'm really glad you're here. I really am. It's so great to be able to be with you once again on the program. I want to say especially thank you for your recent contributions to my ministry. I am absolutely very much in need and dependent on your contributions to go forward. Things are really they're a little rough right now. Looking at the old bank account because you know speaking for the most part is on hold. I don't know of any speaker out there who's able to get out on the road right now. Not that I would want to, but having midway through Lent, my speaking engagements just cut off and postponed indefinitely. And you know, looking at the way things are, I don't know when this is going to come back. the point is, God has been providing for me in a number of different ways in my family, and you're a big part of that. So I want to thank you, and please keep it in mind, if you have not yet gone over to my website, followingthetruth.com, and sent over a contribution, I would greatly appreciate it if you would consider doing that today. You can do that securely through PayPal just by going to followingthetruth.com. Your contribution enables me to keep going with this program, because I don't charge for this program, as well as my weekly show that I distribute to radio stations and also to the podcast services. I don't charge for that either, as well as my daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. And in order to do this, I still got to find a way to provide for the needs of myself and my family. Your contributions are vital. So if you would be so willing, so kind as to go over to followingthetruth.com and consider supporting my work financially, I would be very, very much appreciative of that. So I thank you. Thank you in advance, because you've been amazing, and I'm grateful for your support and your prayers. Well, let's pray now, speaking of prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you once again with grateful hearts, grateful for who you are, and in some way, Father, for the ability, in some small way, to appreciate your greatness, your power, your love. Our human comprehension falls short. We can only partially understand your complexity because you're God and we're not. We thank you for giving us the, albeit limited, capacity to understand, the capacity to, in some way, understand who you are, how much you love us, and how great your power is. Father, I'm convinced that if we would fully understand your power, your constant presence, and your love, we would never worry about anything for the rest of our lives. Help us to be clearer on those three things: how much you love us, how powerful you are, and that you are always with us. Sometimes we can feel lonely. We can feel like it's us against the world. We could feel like we're fighting a losing battle. But with you on our side, by our side, and loving us as you do, we should be fully confident at all times. Help us to get better at that, Father. Please continue to provide for our needs, including the need of just sustaining our lives. We need you at every second of every day. Help us to be aware, Father, of our need for you. Help us to realize that we are not self-sufficient, we are not independent, that we are dependent on you. Help us to become grateful for what you've given us, the little things, the not so little things, the huge things, including the gift of our life. Father, we pray for our needs, for the needs of our family and friends. We pray for all who are affected in any way by the COVID-19 pandemic. We pray for an end to the pandemic. Well, we pray, Father, that you will open our minds and our hearts to hear the message that you have for us this day, and grant in us a willingness to put it into action, the message you have for us. Not just to let it go in one ear and out the other, but actually to put it into practice. Father, give me the words today. This is your program. I don't do this for my benefit. I can't do it without your help. Help me to put aside my pride, my desire to influence what's said on this program, any of that. Let me put it aside. And grant me the ability to fully let you, through your Spirit, work in me this day, so that your message goes forth from my lips. Heavenly Father, we ask these things in the most mighty and powerful name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, when I do that, that's a sincere plea on my part with God to speak through me. Because I don't want this show to be about me. I want this show to be about the gospel, his message speaking through me. So I always feel, sometimes I feel that I really could feel his power working through me. Sometimes he reminds me that I can do so little on my own. You've probably experienced those times when you say, oh, that's not the Lord, that's Gary speaking. But nonetheless, I am just blessed to be here, blessed to be a part of your life. and blessed that we can be able to do this show and talk about the Lord. Let's look at these Mass readings today. These are from Tuesday of the 20th week in Ordinary Time. You know, there are many times it's confusing about reading the Bible. Many people struggle with reading the Bible. One of the best ways that you can become familiar with the Bible is to look at the daily Mass readings. There's a theme here. During the week, the first reading and the gospel aren't necessarily chosen to supplement one another. The church kind of runs each of them parallel. We progress through a series of first readings and the gospels. But the responsorial psalms sometimes provide the key and the connection to see, well, where's the church going with this? What does the church founded by Jesus Christ want us to get out of these readings? Because there's generally a theme that emerges. Now, on Sundays, if you listen to my weekly show, the Sunday readings, the first reading, the responsorial psalm, they are picked specifically to match up with the gospel. So we have a different thing going on there. But anyway, I was thinking today that there is a theme that is coming out, at least to me, when I went to Mass this morning. And I'm going to share that with you based on these readings, because these are good ones. First reading's tough. You know, these Old Testament readings, sometimes they can be a little harsh. But we got to look at it realistically and apply it to our situation. You know, these were written thousands of years ago. It was a different time. It was before Christ came to earth. But the message is really very similar. It hasn't changed. It's just the delivery can sound a little harsh. So I'm going to do my best to try to tone down the message while at the same time preserving the importance of it. Okay, let's see if I can succeed. The first reading is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because you are haughty of heart, you say, a god am I. I occupy a godly throne in the heart of the sea, and yet you are a man and not a god, however you may think yourself like a god. Oh yes, you were wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that is beyond you. By your wisdom and intelligence, you have made riches for yourself. You have put gold and silver into your treasuries, by your great wisdom applied to your trading, you have heaped up your riches. Your heart has grown haughty from your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have thought yourself to have the mind of a god, therefore I will bring against you foreigners, the most barbarous of nations. They shall draw their swords against your beauteous wisdom. They shall run them through your splendid apparel. They shall thrust you down to the pit, there to die a bloodied corpse in the heart of the sea. See what I mean? A little nasty. Will you then say, I am a god, when you face your murderers? No, you are a man, not a god. Hand it over to those who will slay you. You shall die the death of the uncircumcised at the hand of foreigners. For I have spoken, says the Lord God. Rough reading, right? What's the message? You and me were not God. Sometimes we can get a little too big for our britches. How do we do that? You know, and nobody here is going to say, yes, I think I'm a god. No, none of us are going to say that. But what do? We question God's wisdom. We don't like to leave our comfort zone. We don't like when unpleasant things happen to us. We worry about the future. These are all ways that we kind of like set ourselves up as a god. We try to control our future, our environment in a lot of ways. And look, some control is necessary. It's a good thing. God expects us to be somewhat prudent and careful and cautious. But he doesn't expect us to control life to the point where we don't trust him. Now, we're living in really weird times. I've never seen anything like this. This global pandemic, it's pretty scary stuff. And just when you think it's safe and you start to relax, some story comes over the news wire. You see it on social media. And once again, you think, uh-oh, this is worse than I thought. Right? Am I right? Now, This is partially the media blowing this out of proportion, but none of us know for sure how serious this is. We still have to be careful. Yeah, they're going to give you the worst case stories because they like to boost their ratings. But the fact of the matter is, these are tough times. This is not an easy time to be alive, especially if you're someone who likes to be in control or you tend to be a worrier. There's plenty of opportunities to worry. So what we have to do is shift our focus a little bit and acknowledge that we are not in control. Now, that could be a very scary thing if whoever is in control isn't really looking out for our best interests, right? So who is in control? God's in control. And God loves you unconditionally. That's why he created you. So everything that happens to you, good or bad, is permitted to happen by God because he's all powerful. You got to believe that. That's true. That doesn't mean, we've talked about this before, it doesn't mean he wills evil. He doesn't. He doesn't will sickness. But he allows things to happen in your life because he can bring good out of them. If he didn't allow bad things to happen to you, then he wouldn't be all powerful or he wouldn't be all knowing. You know, you get hit by a car because God's off doing something else. No, he is aware of everything that's going on in your life. You got to believe that. And if you believe that, you're going to find some comfort there. It doesn't mean bad things won't happen to you. What it means is God loves you. And anything that happens to you is somehow an expression of that love. This is a hard concept, but it's the only one to embrace if you expect to find peace in life. It's also the truth. God is all loving. Even if you don't feel it, it's the type of thing you need to remember and remind yourself of, especially when things are not going well, when you're really up against it, when you're having a real hard time. Well, God loves me. He's allowing it to happen. Praise you, Lord, for it. You know, that's not an easy thing to do, to praise God for the bad things that happen in your life. But when you do that, see what you do when you do that? You unlock his power or you release his power into your current situation. It doesn't mean it'll go away. Sometimes it won't. But what it means is you release the power of God by praising him in the storm. And as a result, you can get flooded with his peace. You could be at peace even though the storm is raging around you. So I recommend you do that. And you know, look, praising him for poison ivy and for cellulitis and everything that I've been suffering from, it doesn't make sense on the surface. But what it does is it acknowledges God's care and involvement in your life. And it also acknowledges the fact that he can bring good out of what we would consider to be a bad situation. Lord, you're allowing this to happen to me. Please put an end to it. You know, it's okay to pray for things to come to an end like this, sickness or suffering or financial difficulties. Lord, please let this end. However, you are allowing this to happen, and I praise you and thank you for letting it happen in my life because I believe you love me and you will bring good out of this and you're trying to teach me something. Listen, you don't have to feel those words when you say them. You can mean them but not feel them. Right? So I was praying like that, even though I didn't feel all giddy and happy because I was suffering with a swollen arm and cellulitis and bad poison ivy. I wasn't feeling it. But I knew that God was allowing it to happen for a reason, and he would bring good out of it. You may not always be able to figure out the reason. A lot of times it has to do with lack of the fact that we need to realize we're not in control. A lot of times that's the reason. That's a lesson that we need to learn over and over and over. And the Lord permits things to happen so that we depend on him and recognize we're not in control. So keep that in mind. We all could tend to be a little less godlike. You know, we're all going to be at different places on the God spectrum or the control spectrum. But I think all of us could stand to learn from this first reading that if we move through life as if we are God and we are completely in control, God, out of his love, is going to have to make some corrections. So this is a good lesson to learn. You know, when I was in grade school, I remember sister saying, a word to the wise should be sufficient. We used to hear that a lot. And I always took it seriously. I was a pretty good kid in school, didn't get into trouble. And if they would tell me, look, this is going to be on the test, if the teacher would say it's going to be on the test, you better study for it, I would take it seriously. This is one of those cases. A word to the wise should be sufficient. I don't know who that is. That's probably Ben Franklin, because all these expressions seem to come from Ben Franklin, who said that. Anyway, the responsorial psalm actually is not a psalm today. It comes from Deuteronomy. Now, remember, I said this could be the connection between the first reading of the gospel, and it's Deuteronomy chapter 32, and assorted verses from that passage, that chapter of Deuteronomy. The response is, it is I who deal death and give life. In other words, the Lord's saying he's the boss. Ultimately, he is in charge of our lives. I would have said, I will make an end of them and blot out their name from men's memories, had I not feared the insolence of their enemies, feared that these foes would mistakenly boast. Our own hand won the victory. The Lord had nothing to do with it. For they are a people devoid of reason, having no understanding. Anytime we say we're responsible for a victory or success, and don't give God the credit, we're setting ourselves up for a fall. So we want to be careful about that. You know, even if you have a lot of talents and skills and you end up making a lot of money because you're very skilled in a certain area, your gifts, your talents, they came from the Lord. So we got to give him the credit for that. How could one man rout 1,000? Or two men put 10,000 to flight, unless it was because their rock sold them and the Lord delivered them up. Close at hand is the day of their disaster, and their doom is rushing upon them. Surely the Lord shall do justice for his people. On his servants he shall have pity. You know, we got to keep that in mind, that thought that God's in charge. He is in charge of the world. He's in charge of the universe. If something happens, he is allowing it to happen. And so we will get to the point in our lives where we're going to say, I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me. Well, that's okay. Because I'm not God, I'm not expected to understand everything that God does. It sounds simple. But we do question him. We do question him quite often when we don't agree with one of his decisions or his choices. Right? Am I right? It happens. So let's just keep that in mind. So now the gospel, this is a familiar gospel. It's Matthew chapter 19, verses 23 through 30. Jesus said to his disciples, Amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle more than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, why is that? Why is it hard? It's hard because if you're rich, you tend to be, you have a feeling of that you're in control. The more money I have, the more secure I feel, the more I think that, well, I'm the one who gathered together all this money. You know, you get a little overconfident, not realizing that your ability to earn money and being able to save it is all God-given. I mean, without him, none of this would happen. But if you're rich, sometimes you depend a little too much on yourself, and you can tend to be greedy. Not all rich people are greedy, but that can happen. It's challenging sometimes when you have a lot of money. The challenge is, do I want to hoard this money and keep my life the way it is and my standard of living exactly where I like it so I'm completely comfortable, or do I share the money and help others? And it can be a challenge. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, Who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, For men, this is impossible, but for God, all things are possible. So in other words, it's hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom, but not impossible if you recognize that God's in charge. And going back to that first reading in the psalm, when we try to play God and be responsible for our own security through money, through just being comfortable, being secure, not taking any risks, when we try to play God, we get ourselves in trouble. Peter said to him in reply, We have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us? Jesus said to them, Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for the sake of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. See what Jesus is saying, it's a reminder for us, that our ultimate reward isn't going to be based on how many toys you have or how many material possessions you have or how comfortable you are in this world. Our reward, our full reward that we're going to receive in life comes in the next life in heaven. You kind of have to delay your gratification if you are really going to enter into the kingdom, enter into relationship with Jesus and follow him. You have to say, well, there's going to be certain sacrifices I'll have to make. I'll have to share my money. I'll have to live modestly. I'll have to trust him. I'll have to accept that I'm not in control. That's what's required of disciples. Because remember, there's only one leader. That's Jesus. We're the followers. If we're his disciple, what do we have to do? We have to follow him. We call ourselves followers of Jesus, so we have to follow him. So the message of this reading is, we got to be humble. These readings, we have to be humble. We have to acknowledge that we are not God, that we are not in control, and that we should be willing, as Jesus did, to always do the will of the Father. That's the goal in life. That's the way you make it to heaven. It's also the way you experience happiness in this world. It sounds paradoxical, but you got to give it a try. It does work. Following Jesus, giving up your life for his sake, even if it's in a figurative sense, that's going to bring you happiness, okay? You can take that to the bank. Hey, listen, I'm looking at the clock on the wall. I've got to run. I want to thank you for listening to the program. Don't forget, if you can, please visit followingthetruth.com and consider making a donation to my ministry to keep me on the air, to keep my ministry going strong. I would greatly appreciate it if you would do that. You are in my prayers. Always feel free to let me know if you need anything. In the meantime, my plan is to be back here tomorrow. I hope you'll be able to join me. Have a wonderful day. God bless. Talk to you next time.